That's better. Okay, so I would like to start with a moment of silence for Stella Abel, our student that we lost last month. So we all stand for a moment of silence, and then we'll have our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And thank you, Mrs. Thompson and staff here at Tri-Academy for hosting our meeting tonight. Let's see, what do we have up here? First item on our agenda is a motion to adopt the agenda.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we have our presentation from Tri-Academy.
Hey, everyone. Do you have your plaque, too?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
All right, well, thank you for coming. I just wanted to get started by talking about where we are now in our Tri-Academy journey. So we're on year two, and we're grateful for year two. So we tried a lot of things last year. We feel like we've learned from our experiences, we've reflected, and we've redesigned some things, and then we've also kept some things intact that we felt were worth continuing our commitment to. So we had this really amazing opportunity when Tri opened to think about school differently and to think about student engagement differently. And then after having a year at Tri, we had to think about, you know, how do we as staff need to change our own behaviors in order to commit to increase student engagement so that students can achieve and feel success at school. So we really thought about how do you bring forward habits of mind, which you've heard about from other schools, and achievement. And so we really think what we committed to this year with our new staff, we have a couple new staff. So Jen and I are both in kind of a co-leadership position, and we decided we wanted to really focus on reflecting what we expect out of kids and being very intentional about that. So we started to define, you know, what are our commitments to kids in the day-to-day level. And we sat down as a staff in August before school started and said, okay, here's our challenge. We have four people, four classrooms, and all kinds of kids with different needs, 60 kids, 61 to be exact, 61 kids with various needs, various credit standings, various interests, various passions, and various levels of disengagement. Previous to coming here. So that was our challenge, and we had to think differently about school. I came across this Elephant and the Writer video actually after we had this staff, like these days together. And so I wanted to share it with you because I think it illustrates sort of the perspective change that we had to take. So James, do you mind hearing that?
Oops.
Why are you here, James?
How did you find this video?
So I actually came across it from the Office of Personalized Learning in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Like at the state level, they have an Office of Personalized Learning, and there's a lady who is the assistant director named mm-hmm. Lauren. She shared it with me, and I was like, because it relates to her, to personalized learning, and I was like, I love that. So she shared it with me because of our connections with Knowledge Works.
Right.
So, and we're starting to network with other states, which is awesome. So it's actually like the personalized learning work that exposed me to the video.
So the meetings and conferences and things that you've been attending has...
Oh, increased my learning at
times.
And networking.
I guess while she's getting ready and you mentioned that,
in March, we'll also be hosting the State Department from Tennessee. They'll be coming up to visit us for about 3 days. We just got notified,
wow,
I think this week, actually. So they'll be spending 3 days in the district as well.
Mm-hmm. So how many different state departments of education have we worked with?
Have we worked with?
South Carolina.
Wow. North Dakota, South Carolina,
Arizona,
Tennessee, Kentucky.
Arizona?
Arizona. And Arizona is bringing people back.
Mm-hmm.
That's off the top of my head.
Okay.
Slide 6. Sorry. Luckily, you didn't miss much of the video. Mm-hmm.
We're getting there.
Psychologists know that there are two systems in our brains, the rational system and the emotional system. Jonathan Haidt, who's a psychologist at NYU, came up with a great analogy for these two systems. He said, think of your brain as a human rider atop an elephant. The rider represents the rational system. That's the part of us that plans and problem solves. The rider might do some analyzing and decide, hey, I want to go that way. But it's the elephant, representing the emotional system, that provides the power for the journey. The rider can try to lead the elephant or drag the elephant, but if these two ever disagree, who would you bet on? The elephant has a 6-ton weight advantage, and it's exactly that power imbalance that makes adopting new behaviors very hard. If you want this duo to head a new direction, you also need to think about the path, which represents the external environment. This duo is more likely to complete a journey if you can shorten the distance and remove any obstacles in the way. So bottom line, if you want to lead change, you've got to do three things. Give direction to the rider, knowledge of how to get to the destination. You've got to motivate the elephant, which means tapping into emotion. And finally, you need to shape the path to allow for easy progress. That's how change happens.
Reflect on that when we talk in a couple seconds, and we'll come back to the elephant analogy. So first I want to talk about, you know, who are we now? Can you click on the screen so it enables my clicker? So I mentioned the student body. We started with 61 students this year. We did have one student transfer in the beginning of the year, sort of late, but it was best for her to High Point. So we supported that move. And then since the beginning of the year, we've had two students withdraw and move out of the district. So we're about at 58 engaged now, like as of today. And that's sort of the breakdown grade level. A lot of people ask about gender, so how many males and females do we have? So that's our breakdown right now. And at the beginning of the year, I set some goals. I liked to look at a 12-week chunk of time because of our flexible advancement. And so I really wanted the average goal to be the articulation of 2.5 core credits per 12 weeks and 1.5 elective credits per semester, and that would get everyone to their goal of graduating on time if we stuck to that rate, as long as you spent the year with us. So I can't control who I get maybe in January, but that would be like a really awesome year if you could earn 10.5 total credits per year. Obviously, I have the goal of 100% graduation rate. And so then at the 12-week mark, and actually as of December 20th, we will have 9 completers. We have 5, 6, right now. We have about 157 core credits, and we actually, this is a time where credits are channeling in. So that number was 142.5 yesterday, 157 today, and we'll probably be over the 160 mark by next week, which is awesome. That's just core credits. We have around a little over 50 elective credits right now. Kids turn in work hours, so those numbers don't round out evenly, which puts us at about 207 total credits. So we're at 3.57 credits recovered so far. And last year at this time, if you remember in the meeting, I said kids were on full day, we're earning like 1.8-ish credits. Wow. And then kids were on half day, we're earning 3.17 credits. So we've exceeded our 3.17. Mm-hmm. So we're super proud of the rate at which kids are recovering credit. The kids are working really hard, but we have amazing teachers here and amazing staff. Last year we did a lot with a little. This year I think we've got a great model. All four classrooms are staffed well. Jen serves as the dean, if I'm out, for Principal Academy and Personalized Learning, and she's been an amazing leader. And she when I saw the elephant video, she does the thing of getting to the heart of whatever is in front of her. And so I don't want to embarrass her, but like, she does that really well. So she's an amazing, I think the kids will attest to that. And Mrs. Bannon has been an attendance person for us. She greets the kids when they come in, and it's just, we just have a great culture happening right now. Is it easy every day? No, but I think, like, I wonder how we did what we did last year, and now I'm like, okay, now we can do what we need to do. So thank you for investing in that. So when I said we had to really think about staff approach differently, we committed to these four habits of mind, essentially, from a staff perspective first, and then we thought we can if we reflect these things non-negotiably all the time, then hopefully that expectation will sort of bleed over onto the kids and their commitments at school as well. So here are the, I'm not going to read them to you, but here are like the statements that the staff committed to. And I think this has been a game changer for us. I can say with everybody from Gail to even our custodian Lincoln to all of our staff, like, we all live and breathe this pretty firmly every single day. If one of us is sliding, the others are, like, coming in and picking back up. Can you guys read those okay? Okay. So I want to take a moment and introduce you, Jade and Zane. And they're going to talk about sort of their elephant and how maybe the word here that we've committed to has impacted them and how it's changed their approach towards school.
The little video, have you shown that to all of the students here?
Not yet. No, okay. They've seen it, but the other students haven't.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Jade, you want to start?
I realized I picked the wrong spot in my head. That's okay, though, I guess. So, basically, am I supposed to be talking about my elephant first?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay.
So most every kid comes with, like, an elephant. Something wasn't working, and that's how we've approached the conversation with Jade and Zane. So we said, if you want to share your elephant, fine. If you don't, we know that you had one. So you can just talk generally about that. So
I have a lot of elephants. I'm going to stick with one. I have really, really bad anxiety, and so it makes, like, being around a lot of people really hard, and, like, it makes it feel like I can't do really anything, but then, like, I came here, and there's still a lot of people, but it's not, like, a lot of people, and it's, like, something I can handle, but still something that's, like, essential. I don't know, I just brought a lot of, like, hope into the fact that, like, I can actually handle things, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Zane, do you want to add on to that at all for you?
I mean, my biggest thing I had to overcome from the actual, like, Marysville High School to here is, I don't know, there was a lot of distractions for me at the high school. I didn't really honestly care my first 2 years of high school. I thought that, you know, I could just do whatever and get my credits and be out, and that's not how it works. And I came to realize that my junior year when I came here, and I made up a good amount of credits last year, and then this year I was able to finish the amount of credits that I had left, and I'm done with school as of like 2 days ago.
Wow.
So we talk about hope a lot and how do we get kids to believe in themselves, because they're all very capable. Jade and Zane are extremely capable kids and contribute a lot to classes. So we measured their learning perspective, and I always ask the question, like, how do I know it's working? So this was some data that came out of their personalized learning profile. And it talks about, like, I know what I am learning, I know what I'm working on, I have an opportunity to learn new material. The highest score you can get is 5, and so you can see 4 is here. This is between 4 and 5, so all of our students took this survey, mm-hmm. and they feel like it's personalized, so I think that's been a powerful move for us. Mm-hmm. We work in a mastery system, as you know, and I think that's allowed students to kind of feel like we're here to fit their needs, and I think it's working, and certainly their perspective is that we're also doing that. So that's been helpful, and I can share that with you later. And then we also do a hope survey, and I had actually Mr. Langhouse parse that out into a survey that I could look at just for Trey Academy. So the colors here are purple is strongly agree and green is agree, so we want to see a lot of purple and green, and we're seeing that. I'm excited about reaching my goals at Trey Academy. I found I'm able to find ways around any given problem. Maybe not any given problem. I'm able to think of ways to get good grades and so forth. So we really felt like we had to establish a sense of hope in order to get things going. And I think we're accomplishing that. So another word we wanted to connect to was connection. And do you guys have any evidence you want to share of feeling connected at school? Is there anything we do here to help you feel connected?
Yeah, definitely feel connected being here, just like personally with the teachers. I mean, you can feel connection there. Even this, like being here, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I have something to do with the school other than just being a student here. So.
Do you have anything to add?
I do. I'm wording it in my head. Go for it, yeah. I promise I have something to say. So basically, one of the great things about like the teachers and the connections that the students have with them here is that like they connect with us to a point where they understand that we're not just a student, but we're like a person, and that people have off days and sometimes just need to be heard instead of pushed. And that's, like, kind of a really awesome thing to be able to have, because it wasn't really like that at the high school. So that's definitely really awesome.
Jen, do you want to talk about eating out of
the Yeah. School? So, you know, the elephant's big, and we realized last year that moving it and shaping that is hard. So one of the things we built in this year was this You Matter Hour on Friday. We had a lot of people in the community who wanted to come and be a part of what we were doing. They're reaching out, but we had no time in our day to fit that in. And then on top of that, we knew our kids had needs that were emotional, social, that we couldn't really necessarily address on our own as a staff. So this hour was a time for people to come in. We've had like wraparound meetings for kids who are in multiple systems. We've had National Guard came and spoke. We've had career training and some different things there. One of the first, though, I've been lucky enough. Is it time? Can I bring you up here? I was lucky enough to work with Tisha actually for about like last year and the beginning of this year and over the summer as her kind of her day job, as you know, with wraparound, and she does an incredible job with the students, our students that she works with, and I know that. And she mentioned that she is trained in expressive arts. Which is just amazing, kind of a therapeutic art. It addresses identity, and it just goes really deep.
Connection.
Yeah, it's all of our thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when she mentioned it, I jumped, and I asked her immediately, like, could you come in? And she was probably, you were the first partner we had for the You Matter Hour, and she comes in once a month, and we have a lot of boys in our morning, and I wasn't sure. But man, she has those boys like writing poetry and painting and doing all of that, and she's just been incredible to work with. So we do want to give her our Community Partnership Award, and we are just so grateful for all that she's done for our school and our students. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we would love to shake your hand too. Yes, we really appreciate
it. And I feel so privileged to be able to share with the kids the Express
Thank
Marks.
You very
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We could go on for a few hours about what we change and what we do here, but we also wanted to talk about Ethan. Ethan's a senior, and he, when he heard about this You Matter Hour that we were going to embed in the school, he just started advocating for like what kids need, and he's actually been a voice in creating a life skills class, having mental health first aid training come in, and so he actually might, go ahead, be part of the...
I'm going to get the title wrong, the drug...
So he's going to represent Trey Academy there. So we're super excited about that. One of our other words was stability. And we know that stability is a thing that we have to establish each day. And so we approach that with goal setting. So we know that sometimes the elephants are something that we have to empathize and not let it get in our way. So academics are still our goals here. And obviously creating safe spaces for kids to engage with their academics. So we really feel like accountability is the glue that ties commitment to the result. And we use an advisory model where kids are hooked to an adult. We do it on Fridays, and we set goals so kids can engage in, like, okay, what is it going to take for me to complete this standard, and so forth. So I won't go into that deeply. But that's one way we do it. The other thing that You Matter did for us was it allowed for us to explore avenues in the community that the kids could find stability outside of school. And so here are our community partners so far, which once I made the list, I was like, wow, we have a lot of people investing in TRI, and we're thrilled with that. Tisha's on there. We have wraparound meetings here now. Jason King got a grant through the Council for Families that we're going to partner with him. We have a BotVin class where people from Maryhaven come in on Fridays and teach life skills. So we really feel supported, and that we're able to like create a sense of stability even beyond school, which we know they're not going to be here forever. So we want them to have access to support from the community, and we really appreciate that. Lastly, empowerment. So do you guys feel empowered? If so, how has TRI Academy helped with that?
Well, I feel like I am a 17-year-old standing in a board meeting right now. And it feels like a handful of power. That's me. I mean, yeah.
Would you like to make a motion? No.
I mean, like she said, I feel empowered by being here too, and you know, being able to participate in the things that you guys do at your meetings for the past 2 years now. And I mean, it's a good feeling. I feel like I had some say in the past couple of years with a lot of stuff, so I mean, I'm grateful for that.
How has mastery learning made you feel empowered at school, like from an academic perspective?
It's definitely helped a lot. I mean, I know that mastery, like the grading scale, goes along with stuff being self-paced too, and it's a lot easier, at least for me it was, to have self-paced stuff and know the goals that come along with the whole mastery grading system. So it did make things a lot easier for me and for a lot of us.
What about you, Jay?
I like that it doesn't suffocate us. Like, it's not like, oh my gosh, I got an F. It's a, oh my gosh, I didn't do good this time, but I'm going to do better next time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm just gonna, I just kind of want to ask, like, so does it change your whole concept of just the idea of learning? You know, I mean, like, does it make learning more enjoyable?
It makes it a lot less stressful.
Okay.
For sure.
Thank you. So,
So thank you for listening. Yes, questions?
Yeah, I do. How has your experience here, and both of you were in TRICAN the last year, is that right?
No.
Oh, you were. Yeah. Okay, because I remember saying. All right, and this is your first year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think your experiences here will play out as you leave Tri-Academy and go on?
That is a very good question. Mm-hmm. And I have an answer. My brain does the thing where it just, I'm wording it, I promise. Mm-hmm. So basically, I couldn't really pick just one giant life-changing thing that the school has taught me, because like, it's kind of a lot, but it's definitely helped with, like, and it sounds bad because you go to school to, like, learn academics, but it's helped me a lot with, like, my social abilities, almost, I want to say, like, my anxiety and how I look at things, and how long have we been going, like, here, how long has school been
one there? Semester.
Yeah. One semester. So I've been here for a semester, and more good things have come my way, and I have felt probably the best I have felt my whole entire life for that semester that I have been here. And when you have that feeling at, like, 17, like, you don't have to wait to be an adult to have this amazing feeling. So it's, like, kind of just helps you jump into whatever comes your way and think, okay, I can do this because I did that, and that helped. And this might help too. That was a lot of words, I'm sorry.
those were all very important.
David, we saw you last time. You mm-hmm. talked to us about your aspirations about going into mechanics, right? You wanted to be mm-hmm. a diesel mechanic, am I correct? And, right, and you told us last year, well, I never thought I could do it, and now I actually believe I can do it. My question for you is, are your goals the same, and what have you done since we've last been together to get yourself there?
Yeah, about that. I figured out, I mean, I've done a lot of thinking about it even since my freshman year, and I think I'm going to go to college for welding engineering, biochemical engineering.
Wow.
So, and these guys have helped me tremendously with it. They've helped me, they've sat down and helped me apply for colleges and
great. All
kinds of other great things, and I don't know, I mean, a lot's changed, at least, even over the last year that I've been here, it's changed a lot.
Did you do an internship this summer, or did you work at Honda? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you job shadowed too,
right,
a few days, right?
Yeah, and I job shadowed with my dad too.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So I was hearing about the connection between you and the staff, and I was trying to picture what kind of community the students have, if any. Like, in fact, you may have even said to us last year, Zane, that the use of distractions over at the high school, you meant kids. Like, does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to picture, like, how the students here support each other or not, either for connection or hope or any of the other stability, empowerment. Like, is there a community of students here that are part of the experience?
Definitely. I mean, everybody at the high school, there was, you know, like, different split up groups of kids that would start problems with other kids. That's the only thing you would ever hear about in the high school.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And here, I mean, it feels like it's a whole different environment. People are out to help each other and not to make each other do worse than what they already are. And like Ms. Thompson had said earlier, like, when people fall, everybody here picks them back up, gets them back on track to where they should be. And I think that's probably one of the greatest things about this school. Is the people here.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question. So you finished it already 2 days ago, right? So now, will you graduate this next class coming up?
What? Well, I mean, I'll graduate in 2019 with the rest of my class.
Okay. All right. So then you'll be going to college then in August.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you decided yet where or just on all the applications?
Ohio University.
Okay.
Great.
Great.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah.
So what about you, Jade? How do you feel about the connections between the students?
Very glad you asked. I was going to interrupt Dana, and I was like, that's rude, so I'm not going to. But I don't know if you guys noticed while he was talking, but he basically described what makes a really good family. Mm-hmm. And as sappy as that sounds to say about a school, we're definitely a family. And that's such a great feeling for the kids that don't maybe have the best family situations. And then they can look back and think, well, I know I can go cry on Indy, or well, I know that I can be grumpy, and I can have people say, okay, you're grumpy, and that's okay, like, without it being, like, a thing. It's just everybody's helping somebody somehow here all the time, 24/7, and it's kind of like, I don't know, I'm very proud to know that, like, I'm a part of this school, because that's what we're doing, we're helping each other, and, like, that's what we're here to do. Like, as people, not even as students, but, like, as people, we're here to help each other, and that's what we're doing here, and that's just cool.
I'm so proud of you guys, and I really look forward to, like, when Mr. Smith was asking you about how this will carry over into your adult lives and stuff, I'm really excited to see what kinds of things you're going to do in our community. So keep up the great work, and same to the staff. Mm-hmm. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I
have to say, public speaking is one of the difficult things. Public speaking is one of the most difficult things you can do.
Yeah, it's not fun.
You do a great job, though, really. Really.
Right.
Anybody for public participation? Okay.
Well, the fun thing about that is actually I
thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Next up on our agenda, we have the High Point Report. Mr. Chivington.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello there.
High Points. A lot of planning and innovation studies going on with the new edition. And so a lot of activity with that. In January, the board will be having special meetings to kind of outline what the future looks like. And so everything from an org chart, new org chart, to just different innovative ideas for the school. So that's coming up. And going to be some heavy lifting for the board here at the first year. Also to note, I think it's April 10th, High Point has a showcase that everybody's invited to, and it's going to be an all-district showcase, not just Ohio High Point, but all the districts are welcome to go, and that's April 10th from 6 o'clock to 7:30. And
it's a little bit later than it usually is,
which might be
nice for traveling purposes, because we've had some kind of nasty weather the last couple of years.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, this is my last meeting, and on behalf of myself, I want to thank you for supporting me over the years. And it's been a great experience. So, thank you very much.
And we would like to also thank you, Chivington, because you have...
really done an outstanding job.
Oh, thank you.
I know how much it means to you to be connected.
Sure.
I don't know why. I think whenever we come here, I get emotional. I don't know why. we really appreciate all the additional effort that you put in that we don't see when you come to our meetings and give us the report. I know you spent a lot of time with our students, trying to help them with their internships and all those kinds of things. So on behalf of our board and our district, we would like to present you with this high
appreciation.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Doug. Thanks. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Doug, you're always welcome to come back to
higher
meetings anytime.
That's right.
For presentations like this, I'll take you up.
I know. And I did, thank you. I did want to point out in your report, I noticed that at Bunsell, we had some of our career-based intervention students that actually presented their models at the National Dropout Prevention Conference in Columbus. Yeah. So I think that's really great.
And last night at the board meeting, we had a Christmas dinner, and two Marysville students served us dinner last night. So
nice.
That was really neat.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, next up, Superintendent's Report.
Right. Quick update, we've now used two calamity names. Jonathan had the pleasure of making the second call on the fog day when I was out. So just a reminder that our process has changed this year. So on day three, if we were to in fact have that calamity day, which right now is looking like 50s over the weekend, so I think we're good, we'd be making up on March 8th. So okay. We'd start to the makeup phase. I wanted to let you know that Todd and I had the opportunity to present. Our presentation was about the treasurer and superintendent relationship. You guys know that Todd is such a talker, and we had an hour and 15 minutes, so it was like painstaking. But it was to all people with potential leadership in different districts. So it could be teachers or principals or people who may have an aspiration for being a superintendent someday. So we are happy to do that. Also, the ESD hosted their first business advisory meeting in at the end of November, and really it was about a come-together meeting, set expectations, what are we looking to get, what businesses want to get out of that relationship. So that is kicking off, and we'll continue to update you when those take place.
Can I quick question, how many people are on that committee approximately?
They haven't even identified all the businesses yet. So Jonathan went to this one and Kenny. So that'll continue to mold as we move forward. So.
And the idea of this is that the business council is not just a local business council of Marysville or Union County, but a Central Ohio business council.
A regional approach. Since we're already all connected through Pathways to Prosperity with Columbus State, as we've talked about, it seemed to be a natural fit to bring that together with industry pathways. So as our pathways to continue to develop at both buildings with the auto tech and the business pathway and new things that are happening there, that'll also serve as a resource hub for the region. So there'll be representatives from Honda that have been asked to participate, and some other places from Union County as well as Central Ohio.
So this is how the career technical pathways are being connected to the business and industry needs.
It's not limited to that because as a board now you're required to have a business advisory group. And this was our response to that. We feel like that collective power is greater than any one community power as we build those. So we talked also, I had a follow-up conversation with Tom Goodney about some stuff we're doing, for example, with internships and the opportunity to kind of have maybe some system of which or resource hub where students are coming in for internships. So I think they have a lot of good ideas.
Good.
But again, this first meeting and getting things going. I just wanted to, it was a reminder to me this past weekend. I was a part of the Care Train auction. I go every year, but just thank all our students from the high school, National Honor Society, and FFA for volunteering their Saturday hours and helping out with that. It's just an amazing event, and certainly Dan and his entire crew for everything they do. This weekend is the distribution, and I'm lucky enough to be a part of that, too. So it's a pretty amazing place to be. So a little holiday spirit there. Let's see. Wanted to congratulate Judy Van Dusen. She was the recipient of a national recognition through Dollar General in SWAV for Outstanding Literacy Educator Award.
Excellent.
And she received $250 of books for her classroom, and then $250 of credit at a Dollar General. And now she's in a second level of competition that I think the stakes are up to like $2,500 of books and
wow.
A $2,500 voucher to Dollar General, which could take you a long time to spend that, I suppose.
You clean out the store.
And I think she's a knockout dynamite teacher. Yeah. We hate to have her retire, but blessed for all the families that she's touched, for sure.
Right.
I also wanted to... well, I'll save that to the end. Steve Griffin participated on a panel talking to the State Board of Education this past week about literacy and literacy approaches. He went with part of a larger group, so he just represented Marysville as a portion of that. And it's my understanding the video is now live, even though I've received about 13 different versions, but I think I finally have the right one. So I'll forward it when I get
good.
The right one.
Thank you.
So excited for that to take place. I mentioned Tennessee coming in March. And I also wanted to just once again acknowledge Kenny and his team and the entire community for their support around the student death that we had. I guess that was in November. Certainly a horrible situation, but boy, everyone came together and supported kids and the family and did everything right. We don't want to do it anymore, but we certainly did a very good job, and the kids were in good hands. I know Jonathan and I spent a majority of the day in and out of the building, and things went really, really well for that situation, so I wanted to make sure I recognized Kenny and the entire staff there, and really counselors from across the district and mm-hmm. people from the community that supported us. Jonathan, would you like to give a stadium update?
Just a quick update on the Bunsell Stadium. Again, the layout of water and sewage is completed. The water line installed is complete. Storm structures are completed. The building foundation is completed. The piers and bleacher footers are completed. It's ready for the under-the-ground pad, weed barrier, and stone base. The below-grade block is now completed for the concessions building. Block is arriving next week, so that work can continue. And then the curb for the actual turf field is completed and has settled down. So that part of the project is ready to move forward. Weather depending, of course. So keep your fingers crossed for Mother Nature to cooperate with us. So, but again, some look towards later this week, the low voltage electrical work will be done and the light pole bases should be complete. So continuing with some progress, weather depending.
Okay. And like overall, do they feel like they're how close to their original planned time schedule? Do you have any idea?
You know, right now, mm-hmm. We're just looking for ways to try to make up time.
Okay.
Because we are a little bit behind schedule because it was one of the wettest falls in Ohio's history.
Exactly, yep.
So weather has not been on our side.
Right.
But we're just collaborating with our architects and the general contractors to see if there's any way that we can make up time. Gotcha. But at the same time, we're not going to jeopardize the quality of the product.
Right.
So we're just going to hit the brakes and just do it right.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
The high school project will be going to bid in January.
Bids are out as of today.
They will be coming in.
Okay. Yes, they will be coming in. We will be having the bid openings January.
Right.
So bids just went out actually today.
Yeah, we hope to be, have action at our, was it the
regular January? Yeah.
The regular meeting. So we went back, revisited plans, mm-hmm. Took the stipulation of having graduation in that location out, and that was significant to the architects. Other revisions, we did not compromise anything on, you know, what we had talked about. We and sold to people who have invested in the project.
Mm-hmm.
So from a visual aspect, and if it's, it wouldn't really look too much different. We stuck with concrete in most of the places. We changed the bleachers on the visitor side to a different style of bleachers, and it's less expensive. Band section, that was significant savings. So we were able to make some modifications to send that back out. So we should be hearing soon. Cautiously optimistic. Everyone's a little anxious because it's over the Christmas New Year time,
right?
For getting things to we pull it off as quickly as we could. That's why we got it out this week, so they could have some time.
And word on the street is a lot of the general contractors that bid it originally are very interested in submitting another bid, and possibly some other general contractors who didn't bid before. So hopefully that comes to fruition and they follow through with the bid. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
For me.
Okay. Treasurer's report.
So I'm going to speak about the MOU and extension agreement with the Marysville Education Association Teachers Union. That's on the superintendent items under human resource items in the agenda. Kind of a little bit of you know, why are we even coming with an MOU? So kind of how we got here. The last few years, our insurance claims have been extremely high. And what that had led to is we were looking at a little slightly over 20% increase in rates effective January 1, 2019. Due to the way the current contract was worded, that extreme increase was going to lead to kind of a disproportionate increase on staff. You know, we would have been looking at an increase, depending on which plan a person would have chosen, you could have been looking at an increase of $200 to $300 per month. And we were in a position where, you know, we felt like we could, you know, make some changes so that that doesn't happen to our staff. So that's why when we started the conversation and you know, what can we do to, you know, make this a little more reasonable. As we got through that, you know, some other, as always happens, some other little things got thrown in there where, you know, this has been an issue, let's tighten that up and that kind of thing. So I'll just kind of hit some of the highlights of the agreement. One, in my opinion, a relatively minor issue that we kind of just tightened up was regarding maternity leave. This was not a, it doesn't change anything in practice. It just kind of firms up the language so that somebody reading it, you know, they don't have as much, I guess it's a little more black and white and a little more easy to understand. There was a slight change to the personal leave language. I guess the main intent there is trying not to have too many people taking personal leave on the same day, because when you have too many people, then it's harder to find a sub. So this language just tightens that up a little bit for that purpose. Obviously, one of the biggest things we're talking about here is the insurance change. So some of the things we're doing there, we really totally restructured our insurance plans. So currently there's three options to pick from. We made a switch starting with January 2019. The staff will be able to pick from two options. And then the following year, that'll go down to one. The reason there's two options this year was to kind of give people the opportunity to ease into this change. If they, you know, if somebody had always been on plan A, this gives them a year to plan to, you know, going off of a PPO and going to a high deductible plan. That gives them an additional year to adjust if they so choose, or they could jump right onto the HSA if they want.
The main reason for, you know, it's not like switching from three plans down to one saves a bunch of money. That's not the reason that we did that. It was more a matter of there was just no... One of the reasons we were in the situation we were in is because language was complicated. And, you know, both sides could look at a piece of language and see it two different ways. So we wanted to come up with something that was fair. And there was really, with the three different plans and the way they were structured, it was hard to come up with something that we're treating all, you know, everybody fairly who's on a different plan. And there are definitely some you know, administrative efficiencies switching over to the one plan. So
okay, we're going to offer two plans, and then we're going to go to one. What's the one plan that
so the right now there's plan A, B, C. Okay, so plan A is kind of your traditional PPO. Plan B and plan C are high deductible plans. So the starting January 1, your plan A will still be an option, and plan the other plan, which will that you can choose, which will be the one remaining plan going forward, is. It's kind of a variation between Plan B and C. It's really mostly like Plan C, but we made some significant changes to it. One of the changes, which is how we were able to reduce the impact on staff, was we reduced the HSA amount. And the way we looked at that was you can have... that money directly going into your HSA from the district, or you can reduce the premium. So if you're reducing that premium, that's your money to do with as you choose, as opposed to just going directly into the HSA. Mm-hmm. So the instead of 1,400 families, 700 single going into the HSA, that now is 1,500, which that coincides with our current Plan B. The other change is, again, kind of a mix between plans B and C, is the board share versus the employee share. I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head. Plan B, I'm going to say maybe it's like 85-15 is the employee share, and somebody jump in if I'm wrong. I don't remember exactly. So, but then on plan C, it's basically... other than some weird wording that created a number that I won't get into the details with that, but it's basically 100% board covered. There is an employee share that they end up picking up, but that's part of the confusion of the whole plan. So that switched to a 93-7. So employees will pick up a 7% share of that going forward, and the board will pick up 93%. And you know, the simplicity of it is, as we get increases going forward, you just multiply by that percentage, and you know, it's kind of black and white now, and we shouldn't have these discussions. This should be pretty simple. A couple other things along the insurance lines. One, we've had what we call wave stipends, where if as an employee you chose to waive our insurance, you would get a $1,500 stipend, and if your spouse chose to waive our insurance, you would get a $350 stipend. We felt like those stipends were created in a time when our insurance would have been, more along the lines of that Cadillac plan, which it is not now. It's a good plan comparatively, but at the same time, it's not, a great plan that people are just, trying to get on at all costs. And when you have a plan that is, costs next to nothing, it's just those wave stipends weren't really having their desired impact. So we felt like it was fair to staff that if the staff who are taking our insurance they're still going to be paying significantly more even after this change, that the staff who are not taking our insurance, they're also going to be sharing in that pain, so to speak, because that wave stipend is going away, and part of basically the money that was going towards the wave stipend was put towards reducing the premium. So that way it was kind of a shared a shared responsibility by everybody. And then one other minor change, and this was currently with Plan A, if your spouse, if you're an employee on our coverage and your spouse has the opportunity to take their own insurance but wants to be on ours as secondary coverage, well, you've got to pay a $75 per month stipend on that. And that's the same for B, Plan B, but for some reason that never existed with Plan C. Which is that really makes no sense because Plan C was the cheapest plan, and you know, why wouldn't you just jump on and take it? But again, really to me wasn't fair across the board, so we instituted to where that $75 fee would be imposed on that new the new high deductible plan.
I think you told me this once before, but how does the district know whether your spouse has other insurance available?
It's part of our open enrollment process. We have a kind of an online process where that goes in. Employees have to put that in there. I mean, they also have to mark that, you know, by penalty of death, you know.
That's how it works.
Yes.
You have to mark that, yes, I attest that this is true, okay. That, you know, my spouse does not, you know, have their own insurance that they're offered.
Okay, gotcha.
And then as we were in here making these changes, and we're like, we're having this discussion, and this is really a significant change to the contract. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, well, if we're already in here, let's talk about an extension. You know, let's extend this further out so that, you know, we've got good relations now. The district is in a good spot financially to be able to, you know, make a commitment so that our staff, you know, you're taking on this increase in insurance. You know, let's put forth a raise that way, you know, you can count on that increase going further out. So we did extend the contract by 2 years. So in fiscal 21, there will be a 3% increase, and in fiscal 22, there will be a 2.5% increase, which really was in line with what we're seeing, you know, mm-hmm. other districts out there in the Central Ohio area and the raises that they're giving. One other I would call minor but a positive change was we did update the supplemental salary schedule. This was an idea that came, I believe it came from our track coach, just looking at the large numbers of track participants. It's an extremely high number. He proposed a change in the structure of how people would be paid, and we couldn't just do this because we've got a salary schedule, so we had to actually change the salary schedule. And in essence, what it's going to allow us to do is have one additional track coach at essentially the same cost. So it was kind of a no-brainer to make that change. And I think that really hit everything.
Yeah, I was going to say that I was part of setting up the benefits committee and originally, and another teacher and I put together the supplemental salary some long years ago. And what's happening now is exactly what the intent was, that the contract and the benefits would be somewhat separated with more or less continuous review of the benefits side of things and allow for more frequent changes to benefit both the teachers and the district. And so it's nice to see, you know, that piece of it, that we have a good relationship and a good discussion, an open and honest discussion between the Teachers Association and the board, looking at the finances of the district, looking at the health insurance, and trying to make sure that all that's taken care of. And the supplemental contract was designed so that when circumstances changed, there was a logical and appropriate manner to make sure that the coaches and other, you know, the band director and the choir and the theater people and, you know, all the supplementals were treated in a fair and appropriate way, and you wouldn't have to have essentially a third set of negotiations on that particular topic. So it's kind of nice to sit here at the end of the table and kind of see that, you know, that there was a good logical, appropriate process taking place. Thank you, and also thank the Teachers Association.
Yeah, I second that. You know, I mean, I've been part of the negotiating team for I think two or three negotiations, and always felt like there was a great relationship there. You know, but I think this kind of just takes it one step further. Like, you're not depending on some mediator dude, whatever. You know, I mean, to whatever, try and guide the discussion. It was just a nice open discussion, and I know, you know, like you said, I don't think you went into this with an intent to do maybe everything that's in this MOU. But looking through it, everything to me makes a lot of sense. You know, it's either like I have clarifying in there with the personal leave better for students, easier for administrators to plan for subs. You know, and I love the change to the insurance where, it gets rid of that hard to understand if it's more than 8%, all this kind of stuff. I mean, just that flat percentage split to me really clears things up. So, and I think the raises are right in line, you know, very well deserved. Hopefully people feel that they're fair. We want to support our staff as much as we can. So thank you very much. Is that it for you?
Yeah, I guess I'd be remiss also if I didn't thank the teachers union, including Kevin and Ryan and the people we worked with. It was, very collaborative and beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, really, it helps with five-year forecasting for the district, and it helps with forecasting for the staff as well. And they know what's happening.
I know on our part, we appreciate working with you guys. I think we've established a very strong relationship, and they're always looking for solutions and solving problems. Not that we always agree, but we always work to get it right, and that's one thing where we've been able to accomplish that past several years is, you know, we talk, we meet, we collaborate, and in the end, we get things done, and it's all about relationships, and we really appreciate that. So thank you.
Good. Thank you.
What's that?
Okay. My report, this past month, Nan, Dick, and I attended a focus group on a tool to show the financial health of a district. It was put on by PFR, or Public Finance Resources. I emailed you that link. I don't know if anybody actually looked at it or not. It's a work in progress. I'm not sure how much they plan to change it. I think the information, if you pulled up our district, it really is in line with everything that you've been telling us. I think some of them are a little bit hard to understand right now, the way they have them laid out.
I thought it was very hard to understand.
And not always consistent. You know, like sometimes the red was bad, and then on one of them the red was good.
That's what I thought, too, when I looked. I was like,
So I think we definitely gave them, there was only about, I don't know, five or six board members there, and we had three of them, and we gave them our fair share of feedback, so... We'll see. We'll see if they listened at all or if they liked our feedback. Yeah. And then Nan and I attended the ED 411, Economic Development 411, on December 7th. Les Wexner and Alex Fisher were keynote speakers. Governor-elect DeWine was a keynote speaker in the morning. And this was another one where there was more open discussion, where they were asking for feedback. After Columbus 2020 has been in place now for, I don't know, about 8 years or so, they said it's kind of time for us to regroup. How do you think we've been doing, and what kinds of things do we need to work on in the Central Ohio region to continue to, grow our economy? And obviously the connection with education is huge. So I don't know about you, Nan, but I kind of came away from that again feeling like, wow, our community is really on target. And, we could listen to some other communities' comments, and you're like, we don't have that problem here. But I think at the same time, you hear some good some good ideas and things that we can be doing to continue to connect higher education and business with K-12. Let's see, I attended the Bunsell Choir concert last week. That was excellent. And wanted to the shout out for the CARE Train that Saturday night. Again, our high school concert joined the Cardinal Health Symphony, and they just do a beautiful job. So very proud of them. Capital Conference, I think you've all received the recaps from Nan, Dick, and myself. So if you have a chance to look them over, if you have any questions, or I think there's some good information in there, some ideas for that people might want to look into. Upcoming event, so our organizational meeting is scheduled for January 7th at 5:30. And then if we stick with our same third Thursday schedule, our regular meeting would be January 17th. And Nan had contacted me because our mid-year reviews are usually done in January and wondered if we would want to consider doing, one review one night, another review the other night, either having one the night of our organizational meeting or maybe doing two meetings the week of our regular meeting, January 15th and 17th. So
it's just a little hard when you stack it on top of that.
Yes, for one meeting, to give everybody the time that they deserve. I'll try and send out an email or something and get some ideas from people of what your availability when you would want to do that. And then the other thing is, remember, this last August we did our building visits with our teams of two, and I think we agreed that we were going to switch them and do them sometime the beginning of this next year. And I know if we wait too long, things are going to get crazy with testing and that kind of stuff. So
I want to visit this building.
That's right, because I'm trying to remember who was on which team.
Yes,
we're going to flip.
Just let me know the dates, and I'll let principals know you're coming.
Okay, so again, that'll be another, and I guess if there's any date that you know off the top of your head we should be staying away from,
okay,
let me know, okay? So,
are you thinking of doing those in January or February?
Well, I think so. I mean, January would be best. So January might be a busy month for us.
And where it's at in January, yet? Board meeting.
Where our meeting is in January? I'd have to look on.
Naven. From our county. Billy's got it on our county.
Naven, okay.
Okay, Naven in January. Okay. That's it for me. Oh, wait, sorry, one more thing. I think tomorrow is the internship presentations at the Early College High School.
Okay.
Good, okay, because I'm heading out of town tomorrow morning, so I'm going to miss it. And actually, I was there for a scholarship day presentation for my regular job, and a young lady there had on her laptop, it said Naven and Northwood, and I said, oh, what are you working on here? She's like, I'm so nervous. I have a presentation on Friday for my internship program, and she interned with one of our one of our staff.
A speech therapist?
I don't think it was a speech therapist. Maybe an intervention specialist that covers Northwood and Naven, and she had interned with her, and so she was going to do her presentation. She's very nervous, but she said she had a great experience. So I'm glad you're going. Okay, I'm done. Mr. Smith.
All right. I emailed, and I think you received the legislative report. I had a problem sending it to you as an attachment. I am working with Pat Szymanski from the Elida School Board in preparation for the National School Board Association Advocacy Institute at the Capitol Conference. I had an opportunity to meet and invite Peggy Lander and also Representative Ryan Scott trying to set up visitation with them and also our local representative elect Tracy Richardson and for our current Senator Dave Burke. Nan Savage and I met with Senator Burke and reviewed before the lame duck session kind of got started. We reviewed a lot of legislation lot of bills that might come up, just trying to reinforce bills that we thought were positive and bills that had issues. And I thought the meeting went well.
I thought it went really well. He emphasized the fact that there's only a finite amount of time in this lame duck session, and they're going to have to put their priorities on what they think they can get through easily.
So in my report, I kind of identified all the bills that we talked to him about. There were a lot more than I did include in the report. This week, one of the bills we discussed with him was House Bill 343, mm-hmm. That has to do with the challenging of property rates and so forth by school districts. And there was a compromise that OSBA and the other state organizations had proposed. That compromise was adopted by the Ways and Means Committee yesterday, and it has to go back to the House. I don't, it may have gone there today, could go next week maybe, but that seemed to be about the only piece of legislation that at this point seems like it might have an opportunity to pass, but bills, there was an attempt in House Bill 477 to amend that bill to expand the voucher program, and that was defeated by a 6-5 vote. I was able to get a hold of Senator Burke while he was in the caucus discussing that, and it worked out the way that I hoped that it would. And in my report, I provided additional information that was available today from the state legislative site on House Bill 343, the challenge to property values. So,
hot off the press. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Any questions? About the safety report.
Well, because we're a week early, we don't meet until next Tuesday, the 18th.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm really thrown off this month.
Okay.
I am really totally blown away. So, I mean, this is so funny. On my way coming here, I'm thinking, oh my God, did I miss the virtual mission meeting? I mean, it hit me like a ton of press. I'm like, This should not be a meeting.
Yes,
exactly.
we're a week early.
All right, I'm all good, and we'll be at the meeting. Jonathan and I will be there Tuesday, and then we'll report in January.
Excellent. Thank you.
I actually did have a question for Dick.
Okay.
So how did you and Dave Burke, how did you guys, is that a good working relationship, do you feel?
Yeah, I think so. You mentioned there was some legislation that was not going to be acted on this fall, dealing with the state report card, and just kind of suggested to him that if that didn't get acted on, maybe he could resurrect it in the next session, and he seemed amenable to that.
And he was very interested in, as updates are being made, that he would like to be communicated to, because there's a lot of simultaneous activity going on at the State House, and it's difficult to stay in touch with what's going on in every single piece of legislation. So if there's something that we're watching and something happens, please communicate with him. So.
Okay.
I did appreciate that openness.
Senator Burke has always appeared to me to be a person that you can talk to. You won't necessarily find agreement, but he is very thoughtful and he listens. Mm-hmm. And I think with any elected official, those are two good qualities.
Thank you. All right, next up, need a motion to approve the minutes from last month's meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments, corrections, revisions? Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, we need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments?
A couple of items. One, the main thing in our appropriations are our federal grants. The carryover from last year has been applied, so that's why you're seeing those increases in there. Just any unused money from last year gets carried over to the next year. And the cash flow report, really the big thing that stands out on there to me is our foundation revenue. It's not that big yet, but it will continue to grow, and that's the foundation revenue. And I gave my big spiel last meeting about how we're finally a formula district, mm-hmm. and we're a cap district again. So we actually grew enough that we went straight past formula and back onto the cap. So it's kind of, I guess the good news of it is, you know that we're getting all the money that we possibly could be getting. Uh-huh. And the bad news is we still should be getting more.
Yeah.
So I guess that was short-lived.
Yeah.
And then finally, not in my report, this is in the HR report, but just to note, you'll notice Julie Chappelle is on there to be hired as our new accounts receivable person. Mm-hmm. I've known Julie. She was actually audited me when I was at Olentangy and actually hired her as an accountant there. So okay. She comes with a wealth of experience and should be a great fit there. She had taken time to be with her family, raising her young child, so she had taken some time off, so she's looking to get back in, mm-hmm. And it was good timing.
Great. When I was in the board office recently, Deb was, I just wanted to shout out for Deb. She came back to do mm-hmm. some training, right?
Yes.
So, I think that speaks well to the environment of your office, so that's good. People get along very well. Okay, that's it.
That's it
for you. Okay. Any questions of Todd? Hi. When you're saying with that carryover with the grants, is are there usually time stipulations on when you can use that money?
So we have to turn in our final expenditure report by mm-hmm. September 30th, and then once that's all approved, mm-hmm. they'll send the money our way, and then. You have to, at that point, you have to budget it. And then okay. So once it's been budgeted and approved, uh-huh. then you can start spending it.
Okay.
So technically, usually we'll do that around, November, December. It's mm-hmm. And then there's also, I won't get too far into the details, there's requirements on how much you're allowed to carry over and all those things, but we watch that and make sure that we're in compliance.
Good. All right, then roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, need a motion to approve Paul Devine as supplemental for Bunsell Basketball Boys B Team, 50% at 8th grade.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Abstain. And motion carries. Next on our agenda, we need a motion to approve the superintendent action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
As Todd mentioned, and give you an overview of the MOU that is in this section of items. I also wanted to give a little shout out to Teresa after 33 years of service to the school district. She's retiring yeah. from Creekview, so
yeah. wow.
appreciate her service to our kids and families. I think Ms. Devine may have
yes,
benefited
she
from
yes. She had a couple of my kids.
The other thing that may look a little odd is the bid acceptance for early college. There was a typo last month. This one is minus the mistake on the bid package, so it's just corrected. Nothing changes money-wise or expense-wise. It's just fixing that mistake.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
I had to go back and compare.
Should have called me.
And try to find the difference.
Did you find it?
No.
Okay.
It's just a part from an old one. They used the same form and it wasn't taken off.
Okay. Well, I did see that because it was the concrete
Correct.
Work.
Yeah.
Masonry work or whatever.
It was just a mistake on our part.
Okay. Good. All right, then. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we're up to the comments and questions from board members. Mr. Smith.
The man attended a session on the Capitol Conference. Charter schools and heard in her report she noted that tens of millions of dollars are lost to public schools every year. And I attended a session that was similarly focused on how to retain and try to get back students that have chosen other options. And there was a video link I provided online, and I would encourage members of the board and so forth, and our superintendent, treasurer, look at that, because I thought it was an interesting tool to try to create a greater interest in the school, try to create a greater identity for a school district. I've mentioned to a couple that I'm reading a book on Benjamin Rush, and he proposed, he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and he wrote early, very early, he was one of the first people to talk about the value of public education. And he believed that public education was fundamental to the development of democracy and our republican system of government in this country, and that the rights that we enjoy cannot be fully expressed or used or valued without good public education, basically knowing what you're talking about. So I think that's important. I'd like to thank Tri-Academy. Thank you. You bring us all to near tears every year, so we have to put out some Kleenex next time. Thank you for that. Two students that you had today are great examples of what this district and the teachers and the staff are attempting to accomplish, and the fact that they could articulate how the experience here was going to apply to the future was impressive. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you for hosting. I appreciate it. You're welcome to Tri-Academy. I wanted to do a little shout out. During the Hope Center dinner, Tri-Academy was one of the featured stops. And they did a wonderful job of explaining to the groups as they came through what Tri-Academy is all about in their, 5 minutes that they were able to talk to the people. And even in my group, there was a large number of people that didn't understand that this is part of Marysville School District and that the amount of kids, and even with articles in the paper and, things posted on social media, a large number of people were not aware of this activity. So communication is just a never-ending thing. We'll just go with that. Dick already mentioned our meeting with Dave Burke, and I thought that went very well. Friday I'll be attending the internship presentation, mm-hmm. so I'm really looking forward to that. Coffee dates upcoming, and I will get these sent to Donna, so she can get it on the website. But January 12th, February 16th, March 16th, and April 13th. So we try to do them the Saturday before the Thursday where mm-hmm. we have the board meeting.
Okay.
I am very excited about the fact that John Husted came to the Capitol Conference and spoke about education and wanted to engage with school district members from around the state. I'm very excited that Governor-elect DeWine chose to come to the Economic 411 Conference and spent a large portion of the time talking about education and support services for education.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm highly encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the economic conference, Union County had a good representation
mm-hmm.
At that facility. I think it's really shows the regional, the central region for economic development is really, really moving along strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And things that we have going on within our community, such as the Innovation Corridor and smart technology, links very directly into what type of programs we want to offer in the future for the school system. So I think it was a great kind of bridge activity to understand what the business community is looking for compared to what the educational community is offering. So.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Bowen.
Well, I just want to say thank you, and thank you for what you do for these kids. What's really exciting is that in my day-to-day job is knowing that I most likely will not be getting these kids as mm-hmm. they become adults. So that's very exciting, and to see them blossom like that is great. And as usual, I'll be attending all the winter sports, so I'll represent us there.
Okay.
And wrestling and basketball now. And
all of them?
Well, we've got
most of them.
We've got quite a few of them, yeah. And so I know our freshmen and our JV
okay.
teams haven't been beaten yet in basketball.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so and Bunsold, I think that they have blown it out of the water too so far in wrestling. So eighth grade. So I'm giving our presence there.
Thank you.
Just a couple of things. I appreciated the moment of silence for Stella. I happen to know her personally as well as her mother, and I was able to go to the calling hours, and there was a lot of support there. There were a lot of students there, and I was able to check in with Kenny Chafin, the principal, and Ms. Roberts, or Robertson, mm-hmm. I forget.
Robertson,
and I felt like there was a lot of support. And I think that is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that, for being on top of that. I'm happy with the MOU. I sort of observed it a little bit from the outside, and I saw a lot of really good collaborative work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really happy about that. I think that bodes well for the district. That mm-hmm. we can come together and do some really productive things. And for TRI, I'm just so excited and proud. I think this is one of the gems of the district. You know, I liked seeing the success with the credits, but also the list of partners is growing.
Okay.
I'm really proud of what everybody is doing here.
Thanks.
Nothing else for me.
I have a couple of things. First, I would agree with Kevin. I mean, when you sit down and try to make tough decisions, it's give to get and trust and
mm-hmm.
tone of decency and coming together, knowing we have everyone's best interests at heart. And really what I anticipated to maybe take an entire day, we were able to work together and resolve in a short amount of time. So happy to have that partnership.
Last year we came here, it was kind of the tear fest.
Yes.
Today I happened to be here for another meeting and with Heather and Ashley, and you know, she put that thing up there tonight that said you matter. And really, if I could pick two words that really encompass this building, it's those two words. She won't tell you, but today she had a professional photographer come in and take pictures of every one of her kids, because some of her kids can't get their parents the gift they want to get, so they have a professional picture that they're going to get, and the photographer's donating her time and the picture so those kids can have a gift to extend to their family. And it's that, you know, you ask about community, I think that's the phrase, that kids feel valued, they feel ownership, they feel like they're a part of their own learning, you know, they're their own agents of learning. And I can't say it enough, I said it last year, but job well done. I mean, you far exceeded, for a very unique population of kids, mm-hmm. that we were having a difficult time with. For, and you heard a lot of it was, you know, I can't focus when there's 1,200 kids around, you know, I'm not building the connections I need, and you guys continue to hit the home run. I mean, well done across the board. So your heart should be big. Mm-hmm. Your heart should be big. It always is, but... and the last thing I just like to say is Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Mm-hmm. Hope everyone has a peaceful, restful, relaxation, enjoy your family, all that kind of great stuff.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Mom. So I don't have too much to add, but I want to congratulate or call out you too for your vision of having a building like this. And see, now all you guys have teary eyes. Now stop that. But I just go back to those community connections, because these kids really are going to need that support when they leave the building. So you know, growing those is humongous. So,
yeah.
Thank you. And then on another positive note, you know, I work at the Union County Foundation, and the Scott's Miracle-Gro Company set up a new fund at the foundation this last year, and they had their first round of applications, and I'm trying to think. I think Marysville Schools had like Edgewood, Mill Valley, Creekview, Bunsold, Early College High School. All of them had at least one grant that was approved, awarded, and so then there was probably another six or seven outside in the community. A couple from Fairbanks, some from North Union, and so you can look forward to some new community garden and green space projects, which, again, I think that's a great community partnership and, you know, a great way to learn. I love gardening, and I think you can teach just about anything and everything with gardening. So I was very excited to see that. So thank you very much for everything that you've done here, and I'll second Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody, and just be on the lookout for some emails about potential dates and additional meeting times in January. So I'm now ready for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes.